Of a great man of God that I was able to be under during the, especially the 20th century. Great church builder, built the world's largest Sunday school. I had the privilege to get to know him on a first name basis, take two trips with him, and sent my kids to his school and had a blessed time. And I remember something he said, Pastor Jack Hiles. He said, pastors over 40 years old, in a study that they did, very seldom had a growing building church. They were not building anymore after 40 years old. And that wasn't true of Jack Hiles. He was building till the day he died. I believe it was when he was 74 years old. And I think about that, and I think about the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, "And upon this rock," and that rock is not Peter, the Pope, he's a little stone, it's Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. "Upon this rock," Jesus said, "I will build my church," my kind of local church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, what that means is the church is to be marching on the gates of hell. We're to be invading Satan's kingdom with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, God gives us material to build the New Testament temple. The New Testament temple is what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus is doing it. We're supposed to be doing it with him. And not just for him, but with him. "I will build my church," and we're co-laborers with Christ to build his church. He's given us that privilege. Angels can't do that. You can do that. I can do that. Unsaved people can't do that. And people that have passed on and in heaven can't do that. Only you and I can do that. And he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, we're talking about building for God, building the temple of God with Jesus. And that's what you're here for. Make no mistake about it. You're not here for anything less than that. And, we had service this morning. We had a problem this morning. We had our nets out there, and we had eight baptisms. I didn't have enough people come up here to counsel. I had a lot of ladies I needed help. I was looking around for ladies that have taken the soul winning course. This is the front line of the business of the Lord. I must be about my Father's business. We should be ready for baptisms. I grabbed my wife. I got her. I gave her like ladies, and even some men went over there to get help. And then I grabbed some men. I said, "I need some help here." You know, and what I can say to you is when we have an invitation, if you're trained and so get to the front. Get right over here. Get to the front, and I need you. And then we had cards, and we ran out of cards. And I had to go get somebody to bring cards. And finally, Luke came up and brought me the card. Thank you, Luke, for bringing those cards up. I needed them. And I had to get them because I was trying to fill them out and do the bat. You know, God's work needs to be done decently in order. I'm just saying that that's what the work is all about. Not stones in the Old Testament temple right now, but living stones, the Apostle Peter said. People born again. And make no mistake about it, these people are getting saved. It's exciting. It's real. We're not just going through a religious routine or exercise. It's important. Invitation is important. It's the culmination, the climax of everything. And thank God for people that were here through that, stayed here through that, helped me through that, and raised their hand to support bringing people into the church and all of that. Thank God for those. Karen, thank God for you. You were there right to the end and stayed with it, and I do appreciate it. Because really, it's not over till, I was going to say the fat lady sings, but that's not, it's not over till it's over. And that is when we build a church with Jesus. Amen. That should be a time to rejoice. God is saving people. He's bringing them in. That should be what we're involved in. I'll tell you what, that's what I want to dedicate my life to. And, we had this Sunday, as you heard, we had 127 out. We had eight baptisms this morning. Last week we had 232 in attendance. We had 20 public professions of faith after the Sunday morning sermon. We had 5 baptisms and 5 new members received. You see, I don't want to go along with that guys over 40 that aren't building. I'm here to build. I'm here to build. And I'm looking for people that want to put their neck in the yoke of Jesus Christ and build with our Savior. And when we're done, then we're out of here. And I believe that is important. And so I want to remind you of our overall theme. Our overall theme is building lives on solid foundations. The foundations of Jesus Christ. No other foundation can any man lay but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Word of God, the King James Bible. The King James Bible. The Word of God, the authority of God. And if you're serious about helping this man of God build a temple for the Lord, then I want to challenge you tonight that you will have hindrances. You will have setbacks. You will have difficulties. But keep your neck in the yoke and work and click around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission, and you'll be blessed. And the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Satan, his business is to hinder you from being a builder and building lives and building your own life on the solid foundations of the Word of God and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But tonight, my message is, remove blockers that hinder your building. I want to encourage you and exhort you tonight to remove blockers that hinder your building. And for that, would you please go to the book of Haggai? And as you're turning there in the book of Haggai, this Saturday, as was mentioned, I did a devotional for the men on this book. And it was the reading, I believe, for Saturday, December the 27th, that we did that for our reading. I believe it was Haggai, either that or Friday. But at any rate, it was our reading. And I wanted to use that to exhort the men before we went to prayer. And I did do that. And it developed into this sermon that I feel like I want to preach to you tonight. So tonight, I want to help you to be a builder of the temple of God, and little as much when God is in it. Remove blockers that hinder your building. I just want to give 3 blockers tonight from the book of Haggai. The first one that I want to say is that procrastination will hinder you. Procrastination will hinder you. Notice the word of the Lord that rebuked procrastination of God's people in the book of Haggai. Now keep in mind, I'll read the verse. Look at Haggai 1 verse 1. It says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest." Now keep in mind, you had Zerubbabel, he was the governor of the people of Judah coming back from captivity in Persia. And then you had Joshua, he was a religious leader, the high priest. And these men were to lead. They were to lead in the main thing. What was the main thing? The emperor of Persia, Cyrus, in B.C. 536 or 536 B.C., he gave them the provision they needed, the money they needed. He gave them the authority they needed to go and rebuild the temple. And people that really had the right priority, they went and they followed Zerubbabel. They followed Joshua, and they went back to Judah to rebuild that temple. And just like they build a physical temple, we need to be having a priority to rebuild the spiritual temple of God. And they went back in 536, but I want you to notice here, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, 6th month, Listen, that shows me that they were procrastinating on building that temple, because they'd been given the authority in 536. But now, as we enter this first verse, it was around the year 521 or thereabouts. In other words, they had procrastinated for 14 or 15 years where they were not building. You know, it's a sad thing when you neglect to do what God wants you to do. You know, the children of Israel, to go from Kadesh Barnea after they spent 2 years on Mount Sinai getting the law, it would have only been 11 days to travel from Kadesh Barnea to the Promised Land. You know how long it took them? 38 more years, for a total of 40 years. Why did they take so long? Well, they were Jews, and somebody dropped a quarter, and they wandered. No, I'm just kidding. They took so long because they procrastinated when God said, go up and build. Go up and defeat the Canaanites. Go up and take the land. I've given it to you. And why did they procrastinate? Fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but when you fear something and it stands in your way from doing what God wants you to do, you need to have faith up and have fear be down. Because when fear is up, faith is down. You need to fear not and trust the Lord. And that's what these people failed to do. And the same thing was happening here. You see, the local people opposed their building the temple. In fact, they went so far as to write letters against it. In fact, they went so far as they began to criticize these people to the governor, or the emperor, I should say, of Persia, Darius. And when he heard about it, they got a negative report, and they were told to stop building it. And they stopped for 14 years. You say, what started them up again? Some favorable law? Something? No, it was the preaching of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need preaching. You need preaching. Sorry about that. You need preaching, and you need preachers to give you the Word of God. And Satan doesn't want you to have that. He wants to hinder you from that. There's a guy right now who wants preaching, but wrong time. You need the preaching of the Word of God from the man of God. And so God raised up this man, Haggai. He was an older man. He had a very short ministry. It didn't last long. His book is not that long, just a couple of chapters here. But it did accomplish the fact that it got them to stop procrastinating. Listen, stop procrastinating doing what God wants you to do. Stop putting it off. One day, I remember we had a meeting, and I had somebody make me up these wooden donuts. And they were these wooden donuts with a hole in the middle. And do you know what I named them? Round tuits. Do you know what a round tuit is? It's a wooden thing, and it's a donut. And I gave them all out. I said, here's your round tuit. Here's your round tuit. Here's your round tuit. You all get a round tuit. And they said, what'd you get that for? I said, so you can never say to me again, I'll do it when I get around to it. Don't ever say that. Get it done. And these people, through the preaching here of Haggai, they were stirred up to stop procrastinating. And stop procrastinating when it comes to going to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Diane, thank you. Stop procrastinating when it comes to getting a good microphone. Stop procrastinating when it comes to Sunday school helping and maybe being in a Sunday school ministry and building a Sunday school class. Stop procrastinating when it comes to helping out with the invitation and with the work of God here. Stop procrastinating, you see, when it comes to joining the church and being a functional member of the church and getting activated. Don't procrastinate. Don't put these things off. First things first, and stop procrastinating. procrastinating? And could it be that you know what you should do to help this team, but you have been procrastinating, maybe because of fear, maybe because of worry, and you fail to put your shoulder to the work? You know, the Bible says in Nehemiah, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. I remember I had a number of deacons that were not soul winners. I had a number of deacons that were not involved in the work of God. They were helping to run the ministries, but they were not doing the actual work. And you miss the blessing. You miss the blessing when you don't get involved in the very work of building God wants you to build. And there's a second thing that Haggai said about procrastinating. He said in Haggai 1 verse 2, look at verse 2, he said, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Well, what was their reason here? Not only fear made them procrastinate, but now they said, well, it's just not time for us to be building the house of the Lord. You know what? Timing is everything. You say, well, when is the time to build for God? Right now. The Bible says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. When's the time to go to the altar and surrender to God for something he shows you? Right when he speaks to your heart. Today. When's the time to get saved? Today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Don't wait to come to Christ. Don't wait to lead somebody to the Lord. I remember years ago I was stirred up to witness, and I remember just one example. I had a guy doing a carpet for me at my house up in Clark Summit, and he was up there, and I thought, this guy's name is Fran. He's a carpet guy. Hey, this is the first time I've really met him. He's at my house. Maybe I'll get to know him, and as he gets to know me, down the road I'll be able to witness to him. And it's just like God almost spoke to me in an audible voice and said, don't wait, do it today. Don't wait, do it right now. And I found myself saying, Fran, can I ask you two spiritual questions? You see, I learned not to wait. I believe some of you miss opportunities to get people saved. You miss opportunities to build the church because you wait, and Satan puts things in your head, thoughts in your head of why it's a good idea to procrastinate. No, it's not a good idea. Remember Philip, he was up in Samaria, and the Spirit said, join yourself to that chariot. And he went immediately and did it, and led that Ethiopian to the Lord. See, there's something for everybody. He led that Ethiopian to the Lord, and what did that Ethiopian do? He went back to Africa and started a great church in North Africa. Listen, do it while you can. I rebuked my son this year. I said, son, you were being a little too slow. His friend had kicked up a deer on the Slobodniks' property. It was a buck, and he shot at it and missed it. And the deer came right up to my son. My son saw the antlers, but he said, I didn't get a good enough look at them. What if it was not big enough antlers? No. I said, I'd have shot him. I'm just saying, don't wait. Do it today. Take advantage. Paul said, I'm ready. I believe a lot of people are not ready to move, and they quench the spirit when God says pray. They quench the spirit when God says go to the altar. They quench the spirit when God says come forward and rejoin the church and get involved in the church. They quench the spirit when God says witness. They quench the spirit when God says read the word and join into the soul winning ministry. And on it goes. I'm saying, don't procrastinate. Do it today. What does the Bible say? It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Could we say about somebody here tonight that you've been sleeping at the switch? You know, sometimes you're watching something and you fall asleep, then you're like, I'm asleep, and you wake up and you miss some stuff, and you know, what did I miss? I know some older people are probably laughing, thinking, oh, that's me. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. We need to wake up. And you know what? It's the little surrenders to your flesh that make the difference between somebody that succeeds spiritually and somebody that fails. I don't know about you. I just don't want to get into heaven. I thank God I'm going to heaven through the grace of our Lord. But I want an abundant entrance into His everlasting kingdom. I want an abundant entrance. I want to have that abundant entrance. And God says we should have that abundant entrance. That should be our mentality. I don't want to have a team that just gets into the playoffs, Brother Steve, and then loses in the first game, or maybe just falls into the playoffs. No, I want to be a championship team for God. But you're not going to get it by procrastinating. Now, perhaps at this moment, you might say, well, Pastor, I guess we just have different priorities, and that's my second point. Remove the blockers that hinder your building. Not only procrastination needs to be removed, but priorities out of place need to be removed. Priorities out of place. And let me read for you Haggai 1, and let's look at verse 4 through 6. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You know what? I've never seen people that are in the yoke of Christ that are giving tithes and offerings in through the local church, but God doesn't just supply marvelously. When your priorities are right, God will provide marvelously. You say, where do you get that? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you may worry about, that you may think about, that you put as your priority, that you put first before Jesus Christ, who died on that cross and rose again, all these things will be added to you, but your priorities are out of whack. And so God says here through the preacher, God's withheld these things from you as God's people. He's held them back from you. I was out to lunch with Bob Page, his wife, two kids that he's raising, which are actually grandkids that he's raising as kids. Doing a great job, by the way. Those kids are really good kids. Homeschooled and now going to a Christian school. And my wife was testifying how God has provided for us over the years. And she was saying, it's amazing. We haven't had a lot of money, but it's just how God provides. And she's 100% right. I've seen it. You could testify to it, I know. And some of you can as well. Because it's God doing it. You say, why is God doing it? Because of the right priorities. When you put Jesus first, everything else falls into place and He provides for you. You know, this is the house, not the house of God, this building. You're the house of God. When we didn't have a building, we still had a church. We met up at my house. We met in Southside. We met in Westside. We've always been a church since we became a church as a people. But this is the house of God. God gave us this house, and we should take care of it. Should my driveway be shoveled and salted and nice? And the church sidewalk and driveway be slippery and people falling on their keisters? No. We were here for prayer meeting and I said, let's go out and get this thing done. And we've we've called the plow in, and we can call the plow in, but it was just so light, I thought we could shovel this one. Save some money, we'll shovel it. And I just got my shovel and went out there and started shoveling. And I had other guys come out and start shoveling with me. And we just shoveled. And that's what it takes. You just got to show up. And then work hard. And live right for God. And God will give you success. And he'll give you people that will work with you. Don't procrastinate about it. Have the right priorities. And you'll be able to show up. And work hard for Jesus. You know what the word diligence means? It means to be up early at a task. Jesus got up sometime a great while before day. And he got in the Word. And he prayed. And he walked with God. Boy, that's what we need. If our priorities are right, then the first thing you should be doing in the morning is getting a feast of the Bible and getting into reading the Word and talking to God and praying for grace for the day. And should our driveways be good at home and our driveway here at church not be good? No, we should be here. And thank God when we have work that we need to be done, men that are willing to show up and help with the salt, and deacons that are over that are willing to work and to make sure that that's done, and I can count on them to do that. That's the way it should be, amen? And then Solomon, when he built the temple, it was a marvelous temple, and God showed up in that temple. But you know what? David is the one that really had the priority right when it came to a heart for God. Do you know Solomon's house was twice as big as the temple? And we know what Solomon got into, don't we? He became a womanizer. Nah. We need to realize that this is the house of God, and we need to take care of it. I talked to Brother Joe, and he and Elgin have been working on that bathroom. And Elgin, you've done a great job on that ladies' bathroom, expanding it. And Brother Joe said, Pastor, I have drawings here for the men's bathroom. We can expand that. And he showed me how he can do it. And I said, praise God, we need to do that. This building was built in the 19th century, the 1800s, 1885, you know, right around there. And we need to do things first class for the Lord. Should our houses have beautiful bathrooms and the house of God, the bathroom look not so beautiful? No. No. It's the house of God. It reflects on God. And our priorities, if they're right, we will feel like David. You say, well, how did David feel? David said, I want to build a house for God. And God said, David, you can't do it. You've shed blood. It's not my plan. You are not to build the house. Solomon's going to build the house. And David didn't pout and say, oh, I can't build the house. Well, I'm just going to build my house and get. No. He took all his money and saved it to give to Solomon to build the house. He prepared to build the house. He invested in the house. He gave his all to the house of God. And God blessed David because why? His priorities are right. Could it be tonight that the Lord is saying, I did all for you. I put you first. I put you before my comfort. I put you before preserving my life and living in heaven where I had praise. I gave all that up to die for you, to save you. Where are your priorities? Do you love me? Are you willing to put me first? Oh, may God help us to get our priorities right. And let me just say this in verse 5. Look at verse 5 of Haggai 1. And it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. You know what? God is saying, if you rob from me time that you ought to give to me, you ought to tithe your time. You ought to give offerings above the tithe of your time. You rob that from me. You know, I have an office in my house, but there's a lot of things I can't do, even in my family, because of time committed to the Lord, even at home. I lay aside time for the family, but there's things I can't do. But I like what it says here. It says, ye clothe you, but there is none warm. You know, I don't know what it is, but this year, something my dad taught me came back to me, and I said, I want to go hunting. I want to go out in 0-degree weather, and I want to sit there for 4 hours, and I want to hunt deer, and I want to do it, and I was all into it, and got my sons into it, and they want to do it again. I said, I don't know what this is. Usually a guy, when he gets to be my age, he doesn't want to do that kind of stuff, but I do. And I got out there this year, and I was totally warm. And if it wouldn't have been for my wife, I might have got a deer. She had her fur collar, her lipstick on, her coat. And I'm sitting on the top of the mountain, and I left my cell phone there, so everybody got the idea that I'm dead up there, that I got shot up there. And she was going to go up there and drag me down. My daughter had to grab her and pull her down. Now, this is the honest truth. And she's calling my name, Randy, Randy. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to leave. I can't stay here. She's scaring every deer away. But you know why I was so comfortable up there? I was dressed warm. Get the right kind of quilted long underwear. Socks. Get hand warmers. Put them in your boots. Put them in. I was so comfy, cozy, up there in the woods. Something, no cell phone, just getting away from it, hunting off the land. I didn't think I'd love that, but I was into it this year. And you know what? When you serve the Lord, He gives you energy. Do you know that? I get energy from God. And when you use it, you don't lose it. But if you don't use it, you can lose it. And that's what God is saying here. You don't use it for me, I'll take it away from you. And you can be blessed and put me first, and you're going to see blessings from God. And you're going to see, as Matt said tonight, the windows of heaven open up, and God's going to have those times. He'll just pour down those blessings on you. But if you're robbing from God His time, and you're putting your priorities above Jesus, don't be surprised if God takes it back from you. Takes back your health. Takes back your energy. And I'm not saying everybody gets sick that's chastening. I'm not saying that. Have to use discernment. But takes things away because you're not putting God first. And I'm just saying tonight, I want you to be blessed by removing the blockers that hinder your building for God in this great temple here. Procrastination, remove it. Remove the wrong priorities out of your life. And lastly, I want to look at people. pulling you away, will hinder you. Look at verse 12, and I'll read it through verse 15 of Haggai 1. It says, then Zerubbabel, remember he's the governor, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the Jehozadak, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Boy, it's great when you preach a message and people get it. Amen? What good's a message if people don't get it, if they don't amen it with their life? And it says, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. Boy, I know God's with us here in this work. I think of what Eric Little said in Chariots of Fire, is it? Chariots of Fire. Great runner. He became a missionary to India. And his sister was worried because he was going to run in the Olympic Games, and she thought that would move him away. He said, I know I'm called to India, he said, but the Lord made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I feel that way about the work of God here. The Lord made me for this work in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And when I'm in it, I feel his pleasure. And you should too, because it wasn't just Zerubbabel, wasn't just Joshua, it was all the people. Revival is here. God is moving here. Don't miss out. And it says in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Wouldn't it be great if God stirred your spirit tonight? Is there not a cause, David said, something that's above you, something that makes you get out of yourself and forget yourself and get busy for God so you feel his pleasure and you get his power and you get his presence and you get his blessing? That's what God wants. And so he stirred up the spirit of these folks, and they were people. And when I get around people like that, they reinforce what God is doing. But you know as well as I do, you can get around people and hang around people and buy into their priorities. You can get involved in their procrastination. You can get involved with people that don't have the vision of the man of God, of the Word of God, of the Savior himself. They don't have it. I remember when I went to Bible college, I had a friend. I liked the guy. He had a nice temperament. I liked to go to his room in the dorm, liked to talk to him. And I talked to him, and he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. But he was a talker. All he did was yap. Talked about girls all the time. I like to talk about girls. I like girls. We talked about girls. Then I met Charlie Ware, African American, about 6'3", on fire. Everything was Charlie was building for God. Everything, including girls. He told me everything. And when I got around him, man, it just moved me to get in the yoke of Christ. By the way, when I met Jack Hiles, took trips with him, I felt the same way. He was serving, moving, even on those trips, serving the pastors. And I found myself helping him and wanting to work with him. It's a blessing. Don't buy in to people that will make you procrastinate or encourage you to procrastinate. In fact, on the positive side of that, the book of Proverbs, and I've quoted it before, and I'll give it to you tonight. The book of Proverbs tells us what we should do when it comes to this kind of thing. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You do not have time to waste hanging with people that have the wrong priorities, that are procrastinating and don't have the yoke of Christ. You can go to them, seek to win them, but don't go with them and hang with them and cavort with them. You say, but what if they're my flesh and blood? Well, then you stay where you need to stay so that they can come where you need to go. You know, Nehemiah, people that didn't have the right priorities, that were actually against the great work that Nehemiah was in, they tried to get him to hang out with them, to discuss the work with them, but they had no desire for the work. In fact, the only desire they had was to frustrate the work. Kind of reminds me of Erica Kirk and the attack she's had since her husband passed. It really angers me to see how they've treated this woman, but I understand it, and I pray for her. But I know she herself quoted from this verse that I'm going to quote to you. She saw it. Here's what the verse says in Nehemiah 6:3. Nehemiah answering these people, he said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Don't get me wrong. There are people that don't have the vision, don't have the burden. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to encourage them when I see them at church. But I have a desire that they get lifted up and get into the work of God and get the blessing. May you not miss it this year in 2026, because time is going by very quickly. May God help you to stay with the work and not be hindered from it. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about procrastination. Has that been a hindrance?